This is lesson HBS 159, and the title of this lesson is The Lay Ministries, Part 2, Teaching. Now, what I'd like to do right now is go over a few definitions and also summarize a little bit of what we talked about last lesson. The reason I'm doing this is because the ground that we're covering now is new ground for most of us. As a matter of fact, there's not very many things that I found on this. As far as teaching goes. And so we're kind of feeling our way around here through the scriptures, spending some time on what the Word of God has to say about these lay ministries. And last week we covered some new things. And so what I'd like to do in the first part of this lesson, before we get to the teaching part, is to summarize what we've learned to date. Now, also I'd like to say right now, don't get confused by this teaching. You're going to think, well, gee, we talked about the ministry gift of the teacher, didn't we already? Well, we're going to find out here that the lay ministry of teaching is different than being a full-time, having a full-time ministry as a teacher. So they're different. And so it's really, we'll find out, the only lay ministry that has a name similar to the full-time ministry. And there is a difference between the full-time ministry of a teacher and the lay ministry gift of teaching. And so I'll talk about that later in the lesson. Okay, but first of all, I'd like to summarize a little bit about what we've already covered in our lesson last week so that it's fresh in your mind before we start on lay ministry gift of teaching. All right, number one, I'd like to talk a little bit about the lay person and what that lay person is. Let's define a few terms here so we'll know what we're talking about when I mention either the laity, the lay person, or a lay ministry gift. All right, first of all, definition of a lay person. And that's spelled L-A-Y, person. A definition of a lay person, our definition is a man or woman who is a believer but not a full-time minister. Number two, a definition of the laity. The definition we have here of the laity are all lay persons taken as a group. In other words, the body of Christ minus those in the full-time ministry. And number three, I'd like to talk about the definition of the lay ministry gift, or I've abbreviated it here as LMG. A lay ministry gift is a ministry gift assigned by God to a lay person. So there you have it. Three definitions. Lay person, a man or woman who's a believer but not a full-time minister. Number two, the laity, all lay persons taken as a group. In other words, the body of Christ minus the full-time ministers. And finally, the definition of the lay ministry gift. It's just a ministry gift assigned by God to a lay person. Now, I would like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. And we've read this before, I realize, but I want to emphasize a certain part of this in a new way. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, first of all, I'd like to call your attention to who he's talking to here. He's talking to brethren, which also means sistren, too. In other words, he's talking to all the members of the body of Christ. Brethren. You know, a lot of times we talk about brethren, but we also mean sisters in the Lord as well, just like we talk about mankind, but we don't just mean men, we mean men and women. And so when we talk about brethren, we're talking about all the members of the body of Christ. And the thing I'd like you to look for here as we read this is the fact that this whole thing leading up to these gifts that we're going to be talking about are talking to every one of us, the lay people, all the lay people in the body of Christ. So listen to this. And understand that while I read this, he's talking about you if you're not a full-time minister. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, keep listening here. For I say, through the grace given unto me, listen, to every man that is among you, he's talking to all of us in the body of Christ, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has given to every man the measure of faith. And we're going to find out he's talking about the measure of faith to operate certain lay ministry gifts. So he's given this to every man, the measure of faith to operate these gifts. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, in other words, there's many members in the body, but we aren't going to have all the same lay ministry gifts that we're soon going to talk about here. We'll have gifts differing, as we'll see in the next verse. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, still talking about the whole body of Christ, being many, are one body in Christ. See, one body in Christ, talking about the body of Christ. And every one, talking about all of us, members one of another. Now listen, having then gifts differing. He's talking to the whole body of Christ here, and he's saying we have gifts differing. We don't all have the same office. Having then gifts differing, according to the grace that is given to us. Now here's this faith coming back again, that he's dealt to every man this measure of faith. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. This measure of faith he's given each one of us. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These are the lay ministry gifts listed here. And all of them are a little bit different. And all of them are to be exercised according to the measure of faith God has given to each one of us. Not all of us will have the same office or the same gifts, for they'll differ, having then gifts differing. But we'll all have some gift that's listed in this list of lay ministry gifts if we're not called to the full-time ministry. So here we see that in these verses, God's word is talking to all of us, the laity, as having some lay ministry gifts, though even though it differed one from another, and these gifts were expected to operate in proportion to the faith given to us by God to operate these gifts. Okay, that's what I want you to get so far out of Romans 12, 1 through 6. We're going to go back to this in a few minutes, but first I want to skip ahead now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. The thing I wanted you to get out of what we just read is all lay persons have a lay ministry gift, but they'll differ from one individual to another. And we're to operate these lay ministry gifts according to the proportion of faith that God gives each one of us. Okay, now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this may be the last time we turn here in these series of lessons. I don't promise that, but it well may be. Now that we know what lay ministries are, now that we know what lay persons are, and now we know what the laity are, now let's go back and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And I think it will take on new meaning for us. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing. All these things we've studied in previous lessons. I'm not going to go over this again. But here's the next one we haven't studied. Help, governments, diversities of tongues. The thing, as I explained in the last lesson, that's new here is this ministry of helps. This is new. Now, we're going to talk about this ministry of helps. I'd like to point out here that the ministry of helps is only mentioned in the Bible this one place, nowhere else. This is a huge ministry, but it's only mentioned one time. I wonder why that is. If it's such a huge ministry, why would God only mention it once? Well, I believe it's because this ministry of helps is so broad that it has to be broken down into individual sub-ministries. And that is done in Romans chapter 12, which we're going to go back to in just a second, which we just read a couple of minutes ago. But what I want to point out here in this chapter is that there is a new ministry we've never seen before, and that's called the ministry of helps. It's nowhere else in the Bible defined other than here. It just says ministry of helps. God set some in the church. And one of the things he set in the church was his ministry of helps. And so, folks, I believe, since this is the only place this was ever mentioned, that these are the ministries that lie under the ministry of helps that are the gifts and ministries given to the laity. That is, people like you and I, people who aren't full-time ministries. If we're not full-time ministers, we're all in the ministry of helps. Now, we won't all have the same gifts. We'll talk about those different gifts in a few minutes. But we'll all have this ministry of helps. Let me just say one other thing, too, before we get into this, these lay ministry gifts. First of all, there's always a ministry we all have, whether we're full-time ministers or in the ministry of helps, and that is to obey God's commandment of love. That's a ministry we all have. In other words, we're to love God and to love one another in both word and deed. That is God's commandment he gave us. He was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And this is the commandment he gave us, to love God and to love one another. As a matter of fact, one of the last things Jesus said before he went to the cross was, this is the commandment I give unto you, he said, to love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? He gave himself for us. That's the way we're to love one another. And so, folks, this is a ministry we all have, every single one of us, whether we're a full-time minister or a lay minister. We have this ministry of loving one another and loving God. Then number two, we also have a commandment to obey the Great Commission. That is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, we're supposed to all be ministers to other people of what God has done for us. When the Holy Spirit leads us, we're supposed to open our mouths and tell that person what Jesus did for us on the cross, and if led by the Holy Spirit, to lead them on into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? And so, before I get into these lay ministry gifts, I don't want to give you the impression that's all we do, because every one of us has this ministry to love one another, to love God in both word and deed, and also to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go and tell others about Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to say any more about this, but I just don't want you to get the impression that when we get into these lay ministries, that's all we have to do. No, we've always got this ministry to love one another and to love God, and we always have the ministry to tell others about Jesus. Okay, having said that now, let's go on and find out what these sub-ministries are under the ministry of helps that we just read about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And so we have this ministry of helps then. Now, this ministry of helps is a very, very broad ministry with a very broad name, helps. Helps can cover many, many things. And so this is a broad ministry. It really could be anything that helps. In other words, whatever would help someone could fall under this ministry of helps. But we're going to find out that God subdivides it into six subdivisions. But first of all, I just want to say this is a very broad ministry, this ministry of helps. It's the most general ministry in the entire Bible. Why? Because several ministry gifts come under its heading. And it's such a broad term in the first place, this term helps. Now, an interesting thing is, this is the only place in the whole Word of God this ministry of helps is listed. And so we're going to have to look to find out what this ministry really is. And the way we find that out is in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, that lays out the sub-ministries under the ministry of helps. And even them, they are very broad. And so I think that shouldn't surprise us. If 90-some percent of us in the body of Christ are not full-time ministries, and we all have some ministries, it stands to reason that that ministry that we have is going to be pretty broad if we're all under one ministry, the ministry of helps. And since we're so many of us, like I say, way more than 90% of the entire body of Christ, and we all have this one ministry, the ministry of helps, it stands to reason it's a very broad ministry, and it may have and does have many sub-ministries under it. And we're going to be talking about that in the several lessons to come. All right, now let's move on and talk about the lay ministries under the ministry of helps. Turn back to Romans chapter 12 again. And now that we've established that this chapter is talking to every one of us, every lay person in the body of Christ, let's look and see what some of these ministries are under the ministry of helps. All right, and let's just read starting with verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, let me say right away that the gifts of the Spirit, even though they will accompany a lot of these sub-ministries that we're going to be reading about in this chapter, they are gifts of the Spirit that are to augment these ministries. Remember, we studied the gifts of the Spirit several lessons ago, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of healings, the gift of faith, and so forth. Those are all gifts of the Spirit. And I believe the reason one of these, prophecy, is listed right at the beginning of the listing of the ministry gifts, the lay ministry gifts that fall under the ministry of helps, is that God wants us to understand that the gifts of the Spirit will accompany, on occasion, these gifts that we're going to read about here, as the Spirit wills. In other words, they will augment these lay ministry gifts that we're reading about. And so we're not going to talk any more about prophecy, since we've already talked about that in previous lessons on gifts of the Spirit. Now let's move on. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Now notice here, in verse 6, it says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And up above it says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Why did he do that? Because we need to minister according to this faith. We prophesy according to this faith. Or ministry, if that's our ministry. We'll talk about what this ministry means later. That sounds kind of funny. Or ministry. Or ministry on our ministering. In other words, according to the proportion of faith. Or he that teaches on teaching according to the proportion of faith. Or he that exhorteth on our exhortation according to the proportion of faith he's been given. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if you go back and count, there are six new ministries here. Six sub-ministries to the ministry of helps. Number one, the first one is called simply ministry. Now, we're going to talk about this later, and I'm going to put that to last because you'll understand when I get there why I've left it to last. But we're going to move it to the end of the list. We'll talk about this gift ministry, this lay ministry gift called ministry, later on. We're going to start off with these others in the order given. He that teacheth on teaching, teaching will be our first one we'll study. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth with, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. If you look here in verse 7 and 8, you'll find out there are six sub-ministries to the ministry of helps. Ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy. I'll say that again. Ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. That's six sub-ministries under the ministry of helps. Now, all lay persons, that's you and I, if you're not a full-time ministry, have some gifts, some lay ministry gift, but they will differ from one individual to another. Remember above, in verse 4, we read, all members have not the same office. And then we read in verse 6, having then gifts differing. That means all of us are going to have one of these six gifts, but we will have these gifts differing. Some of us will have these gifts, will be he or she that ministers. Some of us will be he or she that teaches. Some of us will be he or she that exhorts. Some of us will be he or she that gives. Now that, we'll get into that. That doesn't mean just some people give. Just hold on to that for a while till we get there. Or some of us, he or she that rules, or he or she that shows mercy. You'll find yourselves somewhere in here if you're not a full-time minister. And so I just give you that ahead of time so that you can be listening to these lessons with anticipation, potentially, and hopefully finding out what your ministry gift is in the laity in case you don't already know it. Now, let me just say a little word before we get into the first gift here, the lay ministry gift of teaching. I call it four facts about the lay ministry gifts. All right? Number one, this list that we just read contains all the basic gifts God gives lay people. These gifts, often supplemented by the gifts of the Spirit, as I talked about, are still needed today in both the laity and the full-time ministry, and were designed by God to satisfy every physical, emotional, and spiritual need that people might have. In other words, will help them in every way that they might be helped. Number two, we have these gifts differing. All of us will not have the same office, as it says in verse 4. And as it says in verse 6, we'll have these gifts differing. So number two, we all have these gifts differing. No one will have all these gifts, but all will have at least one of these gifts. Did you get that? No one of us will have all of these six gifts, but all of us in the laity will have at least one of these lay ministry gifts. Number three, from the ministry of helps, some will later be called to the full-time ministry, especially those whose gift is to minister, to teach, and to rule. We'll discuss this further in future lessons. What I'm just trying to say here is some people will start off in the laity with one of these gifts, and they'll operate in this gifts for a while, and then God will call that person, if that's God's plan for their life, into the full-time ministry after they've operated in one of these six lay ministry gifts. So sometimes you move on from the ministry of helps into the full-time ministry. And as I say, we'll discuss this further in a future lesson. And number four, the lay ministry gifts are no less supernatural than the full-time ministry gifts, since the gift is given by and is empowered by God himself. I'll say that again. These lay ministry gifts we're talking about here are no less supernatural than the full-time ministry gifts, since the gift is given by and is empowered by God himself. The lay gift may not be as spectacular or as widely known as the full-time ministry gift, but its cumulative, helpful effect on the world and the body of Christ may be even greater than the full-time ministries, since there are so many more of us. Did you get that last part? What I'm trying to say here, since there's so many of us that fall into this ministry of helps and have one of these six lay ministry gifts, and there's so many of us, our effect on the world as a whole and the body of Christ as a whole will be even greater than all the full-time ministry gifts put together, simply because there are so many of us. And that's a sobering fact, isn't it, folks? That means you or I, even if we're not called to the full-time ministry, have an important effect, and it won't be realized unless we manifest the gift God is giving us according to the proportion of faith that we have to operate the gift. See, folks, here we are, 90-some percent of the body of Christ, and we have a big responsibility. We're going to be doing more in totality in this world to help people than all the full-time ministry gifts put together. You know, I'm saying this and emphasizing it because sometimes we get the wrong idea that we're just to go to church on Sunday, go to our jobs during the week, raise our families, and that's about all we're supposed to do. But folks, I'm saying here that the ministry that God's given us in the laity has a greater effect on the world at large than all the full-time ministry gifts put together, because there's so many of us. And folks, with that comes a big responsibility. If we don't know about this, and we don't step out in faith with the faith God's given us to operate in these gifts, over half of the work God wants to do in this world won't get done. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? So many times we think, well, the full-time ministers, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they're supposed to go out there and get the work of the ministry done, and we're supposed to help them financially and raise our families and go to work. And that's all fine and good, but it leaves out a whole big area that you and I are supposed to fill. And that is the gift of the lay ministry, where our effect should be and will be, as we understand what our part in this, the part we play in this is, will be bigger than the full-time ministry gifts all put together. Folks, if we don't do our job and we don't know this, over half of God's work, or a great proportion of God's work, will not get done. And so, folks, that's why I'm emphasizing these gifts. And that's why I'm teaching on this, because so many people just don't understand this. They don't understand that they have this responsibility. And it's a challenging and wonderful responsibility that God trusts every one of us with a certain ministry. So folks, you've got something else to do besides go to church and support your local church and support God with your finances and raise your families and go to work. Those are all important things, and I'm not taking anything away from it. But I'm just saying that since there's so many of us, if we don't understand that we have a part to play in God's ministry plan in this world, there's going to be an awful lot that will never get done. All right, now we're finally going to move on to the lay ministry gift of teaching. Now, notice here in Romans 12:7, we're not talking about the full-time ministry gift of the teacher, as we were in Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 12:28. Here we're talking about a lay ministry gift called lay teaching. Let's discuss the difference between a teacher, the full-time ministry gift, and he that teacheth, a lay ministry gift. Now, as we said before, the teacher is a full-time ministry. That's what he is as a full-time ministry. He that teaches is a lay person with a lay ministry gift of teaching. That's what he does on occasion. All right? He's not a full-time teacher. Now, let me give you a couple of real-world parallels that might shed some light on this. Take, for example, a builder of homes. This man, this person, this business is a full-time profession. It's what he is. He does it full-time. He is a builder. Now, he that builds furniture in his garage as a part-time hobby is also one who builds, but is not a professional builder. The degree of craftsmanship may be exactly the same, but the time required is not. They both build things. One builds homes as a full-time job or profession, and the other builds furniture in his home as a hobby. The level of craftsmanship may be entirely the same, but one's full-time and the other's not, even though they're both called a builder in a sense, just that one's a full-time builder and the other one is a part-time person who builds furniture in his garage, say, as a part-time hobby. All right. Another example might be the person that drives a truck professionally is a full-time truck driver. It's what he is. He does it full-time. But he or she that drives a race car on the weekend is also one who drives, but it's not a full-time professional driver, even though both might have the same degree of skill. It's just that one does it full-time, one does it part-time. They both drive. One drives a truck. The other drives a race car, but the one that drives a race car only does it on the weekend. And I brought up this last case because that's what my brother and father did, is they built and drove race cars. They only did it on the weekends, though. And so they were just as skilled in driving as a full-time driver, a truck driver might be, but they only did it part-time. And so what I'm trying to point out here is a lay ministry gift of teaching is not a full-time ministry gift as the teacher is in Ephesians 4:11 teacher. Even though both may have the same degree of anointing, the same degree of calling, it's just that one does it full-time, one does it part-time. You see the difference? Now, I personally believe that I was called as one who teaches, something I did because I was given a gift by God to teach, even though I wasn't a full-time teacher. I worked at my business. I went to church, raised my family. I was a lay teacher. For years and years, I taught a Bible study in my home, and I would occasionally teach in the churches that I was attending. I didn't really travel much and teach, although occasionally I did. But I wasn't really what you'd call a full-time teacher, one who teaches. It was only something I did part-time. But when I retired from my business, it became more full-time. In my case, I think God did this to me to expose me through my business to applications for applying the word to real-world situations that the full-time ministry gift of teacher might never get. This enabled me to mix in a lot of real-life applications in my teaching of being a doer of the word. You know, I think sometimes that full-time ministry gifts can miss a little something. They come maybe out of college and they go right into the ministry and they've never really worked in the real world in terms of how business operates or how one deals with real life world situations. They may come from a Christian family, they go to a Christian college, they go to a seminary or the equivalent, and come out as a person who wants to be a full-time ministry, whether it be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. But I think sometimes that has its drawbacks because one's not exposed to some things in the world and has to confront some things in the world and to determine how to apply the Word of God to those situations. He leads a more sheltered life, so to speak, in terms of dealing with the real world. But in my case, I think the fact that I had my own business for 30-some years, an engineering business, and I traveled all over the world as a consultant to the auto manufacturers and their suppliers, and was one of the developers of the airbag, and did a lot of interesting things. One of the things that I did was I was the lead engineer on the lunar wheel, on the moon rover that went to the moon. Well, I'm only saying this about my personal life to emphasize the fact that I got some experiences and dealt with people and had to apply the Word of God in situations that the full-time minister might never have gotten, simply because I had my own business and I had to figure out how to apply the Word of God to various business situations, to various interactions with people, and all of that, so that by the time I did get into teaching more on a full-time basis, I had some experience on how to apply the Word of God to normal, real-life situations. And that's what I say right up front in this school. This is a school primarily for the layperson, for a person who wants to apply the Word of God to their life and to learn how to apply the Word of God to daily living. And I believe that God, through the business that I had and through the real-life world situations that maybe the full-time minister never gets, that comes straight out of the seminary and goes right into ministry, might never get. So in my case, I think he called me to this lay ministry gift of part-time teaching. All right, so I'm saying that whether you're a full-time teacher or a lay teacher, we need to teach according to the proportion of faith we have to do so. Now, in my own case, with some encouraging words from God occasionally here and there, as I'd go along and hadn't heard from him for a while, every once in a while God would, in some way, through a dream or through just a word in the Bible that I would read that would come alive to me, he would continue to encourage me now and then when I needed it. And through this, God has given me enough faith in the teaching gift that he's given me to spend really years building and developing this school that you're probably listening to right now. You're probably a student in this school right now if you're listening to this. And so to develop this for years and years and to save all these teachings over a period of years and not know why you were saving them and taping them at the time, even when I was doing this before the internet was even invented, I was saving these things because something inside says tape these and save these teachings. And I didn't know why. But then later in life, as I related before, I think, God told me, now take all of those things you've got, all those shoe boxes you've got full of tapes, and I want you to start an online ministry and upload these teachings that you've done for all these years into the internet. And so that's what I've done and formed this school. And he gave me enough faith into what he told me to do so that I was able to stick with this thing over many, many, many years and finally put this whole thing together so we would have this school. Now, it's a little unusual, I think, this school, simply because I'm not a full-time teacher. I never was a full-time teacher. I'm more that now than I was before, but I had a business before. But I think, as I said, it uniquely qualified me to teach on some things that most people wouldn't have the experience to do, simply because they've never run a business, they've never been around the world and dealt with other cultures and other countries and had to apply the Word of God to these fairly unique situations. Now, notice also that he that teaches as the lay ministry gift is the only lay ministry gift which is a part-time adjunct to the full-time ministry of the teacher. In other words, what do I mean by that? What I mean is there's a he that teaches, the lay ministry gift of teaching, and the full-time ministry gift of teacher. Now, not the apostle, nor the prophet, nor the evangelist, nor the pastor has this equivalency. That is, I don't know of any part-time apostles or part-time prophets or part-time evangelists or part-time pastors as lay ministry gifts as there is for the teacher. Now, let me just compare also a few more cases of comparing the full-time teacher to the teaching gift under the Ministry of Helps. And I'll give you some similarities and some things that are a little different. Well, number one, like the full-time ministry gift of the teacher, the teaching gift is a divine and supernatural gift to the body of Christ. Both teachers, whether it's lay ministry gift of teaching or the full-time teacher, minister to the body of Christ. Now, also, if you remember back when I was teaching on the full-time ministry gift of the teacher, I said we're not talking here about Sunday school teachers. In other words, these full-time ministry gifts are not Sunday school teachers. But in the case of the lay ministry gifts, in this case, it could be. You know, that would be a part-time person who teaches. But I think most are not. Now, what am I saying here? Well, talking about Sunday school teachers, a full-time, that's never a full-time ministry gift. But a person who has a lay ministry gift of teaching could be called upon in a Sunday school setting to teach by the hierarchy in the church, for example. But I think in most cases, Sunday school teachers are not either one. They're just people that are setting these positions because they may have some normal gift to teach, a normal way of explaining things, or a knowledge of the Bible that qualifies them maybe to teach a Sunday school class. And so I think Sunday school teachers are never really full-time ministry gifts of teaching, but sometimes a lay minister who teaches may be called upon to teach a Sunday school class simply because he's anointed by God to teach the Word of God, just like the full-time ministry gift of teacher is. But again, most Sunday school teachers aren't either one. They're just people put in this position by the pastor or the hierarchy in the church because they have some natural ability to teach. In addition, any teacher with either the full-time ministry gift of teaching or the lay ministry gift of he that teaches is called by God and is a teacher not merely by virtue of a natural ability, inclination, or previous experience. It is rather a supernatural endowment, so that the one having the gift, whether it's a lay gift or the full-time ministry gift of teaching, receives a special revelation and anointing from God as he or she studies and teaches the Word. Now, as I said with the case with the full-time teacher, I mean this also applies to the lay ministry gift of teaching. It will be supernatural teaching that will never be dry, boring, or pedantic, but will always be as living water and will leave the group refreshed. There are many, many similarities between the lay ministry gift of teaching and the full-time ministry gift of teaching. In fact, almost everything is similar. The only real difference is one is part-time and one is full-time. Now, unlike the full-time ministry gift of teacher, the lay teaching gift does not necessarily have a traveling ministry. Whereas the full-time ministry gift of teacher does more or less normally have a roving ministry. He travels around a lot, and I talked about that when we talked about the full-time ministry gift of teaching. But the lay ministry gift of teaching, simply because the person holds a job and does other things as well, is not normally a traveling, full-time traveling ministry. Now, I did travel occasionally and teach, but not often. I did teach a lot in the churches I was associated with because they recognized the gift, and I was asked to do that occasionally. But it wasn't really a traveling ministry so much that it was just a part-time thing that I did as an adjunct to my real-world engineering profession. But as I said before also, the Lord has shown me that I have a way to travel, really, without leaving home, simply because the Internet allows one to travel without really leaving home. Now, you travel through the ether, I guess, by bouncing this teaching off the satellites, and you can go all over the world now with the Internet. So in that sense, I guess a full-time or a lay ministry gift of teaching could travel by putting his teachings on the Internet, as I've done, without really leaving home. Now, very quickly, I want to go over some of the characteristics of the lay teaching gift and compare them with the full-time ministry gift of teaching and show you that they're the same. These are all the same. I had the 10 characteristics in the full-time ministry gift of teaching, and I want to repeat those very quickly because they do apply also to the lay teaching gift of he that teaches. as described in Romans 12:7. Now, here's the 10 characteristics that apply both to the full-time ministry gift of teacher and to the lay teaching gift of teaching. Number one, they will both have a devotion to the Word. Number two, they both will have a love of Scripture with utter belief that all Scripture is inspired. That is, when I say they both, I mean the full-time ministry gift of teaching and the lay minister. The one who's a lay minister who has a gift of teaching. Both of these will have a love of Scripture with utter belief that all Scripture is inspired. They will also both have a belief that all problems of life may be solved by strict adherence to what God's Word says about the subject. To them, it is simply apply the Word and it will work. Number four, they will both be faithful to the Word, not tradition or man-made rules. They will have an obsession with doing things the Word way, not just because it's tradition to do it a certain way or not because it's a man-made rule, but they're going to be very sensitive to teaching what the Word has to say about applying it to your real life, to your life situation. Number five, they will both be, and when I say both, I mean the full-time ministry gift of teacher and the lay ministry gift of teaching, they'll both be a student of the Word. Number six, they will both have an organized approach, usually with notes and or outlines that accompany their teaching. Number seven, they both will have a reasoned approach to the Word with Scripture used as their final proof. Number seven, they will both often teach topically, but this requires a thorough knowledge of the Word. So whether you're a lay minister that has the gift of teaching or whether you're a full-time minister, you're both going to have to have a broad knowledge of the Word of God. In one case, the full-time ministry gift of teaching may get it through studying the Word during the day since he's employed as a full-time teacher, and that's what he does as a full-time thing. He's going to have to stay in the Word during the day. Well, if you're a lay minister, also, as I am, have the lay ministry gift of teaching, you're still going to have to make sure that you make room in your life for time to study the Word, because both are going to require a thorough knowledge of the Word of God. And so, because they're both going to be teaching topically. Number nine, they both will be gentle with the people they teach. Never harsh. I don't care whether you're a full-time ministry gift of teaching or you have the lay ministry gift of teaching. You're both are called to be gentle with the people you teach. Never harsh. And number 10, like the preacher, they both will teach the what of things. But sometimes, unlike the preacher, the teacher, whether it's lay teacher or full-time ministry gift of teaching, will follow the what of the Word by telling the people how to do it. There's some sort of thing in the teacher, whether he's a lay ministry gift of teaching or a full-time ministry gift of teaching, that dearly wants to explain how to apply the Word to life situations. And finally, one more point I'd like to bring out. As with the full-time ministry gift of teacher, the lay minister's primary job is teaching, but this does not mean that the gifts of healing or laying on of hands for healing or leading people to salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit may not also occasionally be ministered as well. I have found as a lay minister teacher, and that's what I believe I am, even though I'm doing it more full-time now than I used to, I have seen God work in this ministry through the laying on of hands, leading people to salvation and to the baptism in the Holy Ghost, just as he would with the full-time ministry gifts of teaching. Now, the next thing I'd like to get into is a few Bible examples of the lay teaching gift. And remember now, the lay teaching gift we're talking about is a sub-ministry of the ministry of helps. When I was studying on these possible Bible examples of the lay teaching gift, I was readily able to find examples of New Testament persons who had the full-time teaching gift or had a teaching gift in addition to their full-time ministry of, say, a prophet or evangelist or pastor. But it was difficult for me. I was surprisingly difficult to find an example of one of these lay teachers. There's only one New Testament example I was able to find that seemed to qualify as a person with a lay teaching gift, and it was Timothy. I say that because Timothy was never formally identified in the New Testament as a teacher or an apostle. I mean, these full-time ministry gifts I'm talking about, like the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, or the pastor. He was never really identified in any of those areas as a full-time minister that I could see. But the Bible says in several places that Timothy did some teaching or was to continue the teaching he'd already begun. Now let's look at some of these scriptures, because I believe this is our example of a person who may have had, and I think probably did have, the lay ministry gift of teacher. And that's, of course, under the ministry of helps. Let's read a few scriptures here. First of all, our first example is Paul tells Timothy to teach so that others may teach as well. And we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read that. And the things that thou hast heard of me, now this is Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaking to Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Now let's read that again. And the things that thou hast heard of me, that means from Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able then to teach others. And I think that would mean other lay teachers. What Paul is asking Timothy here to do is to take the things that he's learned in the Word of God and the things that he's learned from other teachers and apostles and prophets, and then teach other faithful men, other members of the body of Christ, who shall be able to teach others. In other words, Paul wants this lay teaching gift, if you will, to explode. He wants Timothy to begin to teach the things that he's learned to faithful men who then shall be able to teach others. And that's the same way in what I'm doing right now. I have a teaching ministry, and I believe it's a lay teaching ministry. And what I'm trying to do here is to kind of get you stirred up out there. People are hearing this. Some of you that are listening to this that aren't full-time ministries have the lay teaching gift. All of you who are listening to this who aren't full-time ministers have some gift under the ministry of helps. But of course, here we're talking about the lay ministry gift of teaching. And some of you out there that are listening to this have this lay ministry gift of teaching. And we're going to see in just a minute, Paul wants you to stir up this gift. God wants you to stir up this gift. And so Paul is telling Timothy here that he wants him to start teaching and committing to others, to other faithful persons in the body of Christ who shall then be able to teach others. And so Paul wants more and more of these people that are called to the ministry of helps, in this case specifically the lay teacher, to grow, because there's many people in the body of Christ who have enough teaching in the Word to begin to develop this gift of lay teaching. They're going to have to stay in the Word. They're going to have to study the Word. But Paul's first talking to Timothy to get started, begin to teach with this gift that's been given unto you, this lay ministry gift, I believe, he's talking about, of teaching, so that then these people you teach will be able to teach others. He also tells Timothy in another place, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, also in verses 24 and 25, and it says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now again, this is Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to Timothy. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Listen, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So here again, Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, be apt to teach, be gentle unto all men, be apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing, that's what the teacher does, he instructs those that oppose themselves, those that don't know the truth, those that are saying things that aren't scriptural, but just give them the Word, teach them the Word, so that God then can give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, what he's really saying here is God is not going to speak audibly to these people that need straightening out or need teaching. It's going to be you. It's going to be people like you. So then, once you've taught these people and instructed them, then God can work within them to put this into practice in their lives. So let's read that again with this new knowledge. And the servant of the Lord must never strive. And that means be harsh or unloving toward others. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will then give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So here again, Paul is telling Timothy to teach so that he can instruct those that oppose themselves. In the first scripture we saw that he's to teach, so those people that he taught would be able to teach others. And now he's telling him to teach so that he can instruct people who are in error so that God then can pull them out of this error because now they know the truth through the teaching Timothy would give them. Now, number three, Paul tells Timothy to teach the brethren certain things in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 and verse 11. Let me read that. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, he wants Timothy to correct this through his teaching. Let's go on. Speaking lies, that's these people that are teaching the wrong things, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. In other words, he wants Timothy to correct these errors. We'll go on now. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. He's talking about these people here that forbid certain believers from eating certain things. And he's saying everything is good to eat, as long as we receive it with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now listen, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that means teach them, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That's the same Greek word for teaching. Nourished up in the words of faith of good teaching, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 11. These things command and teach. So here, this third example we have of Paul exhorting Timothy to teach, to correct certain things. And he said, I want you to put the brethren in remembrance of these things so that you can be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine or good teaching, whereunto thou hast attained. These things I just read in verses 1 through 6, command and teach. So here again, Paul is exhorting Timothy to teach, to get out there and teach these things to the brethren. Now again, we have no record of Timothy being a full-time teacher. I believe this is our example of the lay ministry gift of teaching. And Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to do this. First of all, we found out that he wanted him to teach so others may teach as well. Then he tells Timothy to be apt to teach so that he can correct certain errors. Now, number four, he also tells Timothy to remember he has a gift and to stir it up. In other words, by stirring it up, it means sometimes we can have a gift that just lays dormant in us. Some of you out there, I'm sure, that are listening to this have a ministry of helps gift that's just laying dormant in you simply because you never knew you were supposed to do anything with it. At times, it seems that this gift stirs itself up and tries to come out in your life and in the ministry that God has for you. But somehow we think sometimes that, well, that can't be me. God hasn't called me to do this. That's for someone else. And it's quenched. That gift is being quenched in our lives. So here Paul tells Timothy in these verses, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then 13 and 14, remember he has a gift and to stir it up. Let's read these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, first verses 6 through 8, and then verses 13 and 14. Whereunto, Paul speaking, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I think, folks, this is very typical of a lot of us that are in the ministry of helps. And we have to be put in remembrance sometimes to stir up the gift of God that we have, which is in thee. For God has not given us the spirit of fear to operate in this gift, but he's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Folks, sometimes the enemy gets in there and he makes us afraid to exercise our gift. He says, well, it won't be received, or I really don't have this gift, or I'll try to speak and it won't be anointed and God won't be there to help me. But he will, folks. But what God does ask us to do is to step out in faith and use the gift that we have. And then when we do that, God will meet us right there. But until we step out in faith in the gift he's given us, God won't be active. And that's the way it is. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. We need faith, folks. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we found out in Romans chapter 12 that when God gives us these gifts, he gives us faith to use these gifts. Remember that? He gives to every man the measure of faith to operate in some ministry of helps gift if he's not already a full-time minister. So Paul is telling Timothy to stir up this gift, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. That fear that hinders us from exercising that gift is not of God. That's from the enemy. But God has given us something, and that's the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind to exercise the gift that God's given us. Verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul's talking to Timothy, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast learned of me, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That, now listen, verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And what was that good thing? Well, we found out in the previous scriptures we read, that was the gift to teach, to be apt to teach to correct error, to teach so that others may teach. All those things Paul is exhorting Timothy to begin to stir up this gift that he has of teaching. And as I said before, I believe it's a lay ministry gift of teaching, because nowhere in the Bible have I found where it says that Timothy was given a full-time ministry gift of teaching. So what I think in this last verse that we've learned here, this last series of verses, is that I think those of us who have a part-time ministry under the ministry of helps need to be stirred up once in a while, so we don't forget that even though we have a full-time job and family responsibilities, we also have a responsibility under the ministry of helps to God as well. And so, folks, those of you that are listening that have this lay ministry gift of teaching, stir up this gift. The next time God stirs your spirit in a group of believers to speak out in an area that you feel an anointing coming upon you to bring forth some truth of God that you think could correct something maybe that's slightly in error, or to help people to understand what the Word of God is saying in a certain area, that will come upon you at times. That's how it started with me. I would be in a noon group of fellow workers that we decided to have a meeting where we could just talk about the Lord, and believers would go off to this park and we'd meet there for an hour and talk about the Lord and things. And God would move strongly upon me in these meetings sometimes to bring out some truth or something to these people. And it was always received well because God was behind it. And at first I resisted this. I thought, I shouldn't say this. I'm a newer believer than some of these people. But it just wouldn't go away. It just kept stirring in my spirit. And finally, when I would speak it up, it seemed like it did good. It seemed like it was well received. As a matter of fact, after a while, this Wednesday noon meeting we were having in this park became known as Wednesday School. They called it Wednesday School when I would bring forth teachings to the group. And it never became something I just took over the group. It was something that was just natural. It was something of the Lord. It was something he wanted me to do. And when I would respond to that, there would be an anointing that would come upon me when I did respond, and the people were blessed. They told me they were. And I'm not just saying that to pump up myself or anything, but I'm just saying this went on for a long time. And more people came to it, and we soon had a pretty good sized group out there in the park on Wednesday noons. And so, folks, when this gift comes upon you, and we feel this urge to speak out and to bring a truth from God's word to other fellow believers, especially, that's the lay ministry gift of teaching. And when you respond to that, God will meet you there. God will come on you with this thing that we just read about, this spirit of power to bring forth his word in with power to the group that you're with. So folks, just give God a chance. If you've been called to the ministry of lay teaching, give God a chance. Just step out there and say what that scripture is on your mind. Usually there'll be a scripture that you can use to back up what you're going to say. I found that God just didn't want me to express an opinion I had, but he wanted me to bring forth some truth from his word and then expound on it a little bit. And so when you do speak forth, be sure that you're speaking something in line with his word and even quote his word as you do bring this forth. The reason we should speak forth God's words when we feel this anointing to teach in this lay ministry gift of teaching is because the word of God is so powerful. Folks, it's not the words that you're saying, it's the word of God mixed with your amplification of this word that brings power and anointing to the group that you're talking to. For example, here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Folks, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will penetrate, folks. When you bring that word of God to people with a rightful interpretation of what it is saying in a teaching atmosphere, folks, it will strike deep in the hearts of those you're speaking to. So respond to this gift when it comes in your heart, when God is working in your heart to speak something. And when you do, God will be behind it. But if you wait for God to speak, it'll never happen because he uses our words. You know, we have to actually use our vocal cords here. God can't just take our mouth and move it up and down and make words come out. We have to respond to this prompting in our spirit and speak forth the scripture he's giving us and amplify it where required. And so open up your mouth, stir up that gift of God, and let that lay teaching gift come out. Now, I want to look at one other place. It's also here in Hebrews, the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul hints that there were those he was writing to that should, in fact, be teachers, and probably lay teachers by this time in their spiritual development, but they neglected their call. Or even perhaps he was saying that we all should develop spiritually in the Word to the point where we have enough knowledge of the Word to be teachers from time to time. Now let's read what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has to say in verses 11 through 14 in chapter 5. And he's getting a little strong here with these people because, well, I'll just read it and you can make up your own mind. Verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered." Why? "Seeing you are dull of hearing." Paul is telling these people, look, I've got a lot to say to you, and I'd like to say a lot more to you, but I can't because you're dull of hearing. Now, here's the reason they were dull of hearing. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are as become as such as have meat of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are full age, even those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now that is a little hard to understand in a couple spots, but let me see if I can open this up a little bit. Paul is speaking to these Hebrews Christians, and he's saying, you guys ought to be teachers, a lot of you, by now. And yet you're still wading around in milk, sipping milk, when the time is already here that you should be teaching the strong meat of God's word. But you're still dabbling in the milk as a babe. That's what he's really saying here. You're still of those who have need of milk and not yet strong meat. But they should, at this time in their spiritual development, be ready for strong meat. That's what Paul's telling them. They're not developing at the rate they should. And he's telling them, you people here, I have to say this, because you're dull of hearing. In other words, open your ears and listen. For the time has come when you ought now to be teachers, instead of having to be taught all the time with the milk of the word. You should be out there receiving the meat of the word and even teaching both the milk and the meat of the word when necessary. So he's kind of chewing them out a little bit, really. He's saying the time has come, you ought to be teachers. And folks, there's some of you out there right now that are listening to this. The time has come, you ought to be teachers. There's time has come, you ought to be teaching some of the things that you've learned. And the time has come that you ought to be growing more in the Word of God. And so what he's saying here are several things. One, we need to spend more time in the Word, especially if we're called to this lay ministry gift of teaching. For the time has come that some of you ought to be teachers instead of constantly having need of milk and constantly having the needs of babes in Christ rather than mature believers in Christ. For babes always have to have the milk, and they're always ones being ministered unto instead of ministering unto others. And what Paul is saying is we can't all be those in the body of Christ who are ministered unto. We've got to have some of us who are ministering unto others. And he's saying some of you have been in the body of Christ long enough to be teaching others. So stir up that gift of God. Get going here. Get going in the Word. For the time has come that you have need of strong meat instead of this milk that you've been getting. For everyone that uses milk is not skillful in the word of righteousness. And God wants you to be skillful in the word of righteousness and get going with the strong meat of God's word. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm reading this, folks, because many of you out there are sitting on the fence. You sense from time to time that God wants to minister through you, especially in this gift we're talking about of lay teaching. But then you back down and you don't spend time in the Word, so you don't feel qualified, and so nothing happens. And God is saying, come on, stir up this gift. I've given you a gift. I want you to minister to the body of Christ. And don't worry about what happens when you speak. I'll be there. The Spirit of power will come upon you as you open your mouth and begin to speak. So move on from the milk of the Word. Begin to study the Word on your own. Begin to reach out beyond your normal source of Word of God and teaching. And folks, you are then in this Bible school have done that, and I commend you for that. You're trying to move on in God's Word. And some of you out there that have shown this initiative, that have signed up for this school, and are spending your time learning the Word of God, are doing it because you sense in your spirit that you have a ministry of some kind, something God wants you to do. Most of you out there that are in this school, I know you've told me, this is what you feel in your spirit. Well, here it is, folks. It's time to stir up that gift. It's time to start stepping out in faith in that gift God's given you. And if He's given you this gift of lay teaching, get in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Make outlines. Make outlines of teachings that you could give. When you do this, you will learn the Word in greater detail as you begin to outline it and to make lesson outlines. And as you make these lesson outlines, then God will open doors for you to operate in this lay ministry gift of teaching. Okay, that's really all I had to say about this. So what are our conclusions then from these things that we've just talked about? Well, number one, we found that there's not many examples of the lay teaching gift in the New Testament. Number two, we know that the apostles and other full-time ministers did some teaching, but they were full-time ministries, so that the gift that they may had of teaching was an augmentation or an outreach with their full-time ministry gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, or pastor. Number three, we've learned that Timothy is our best and really only example that I could find in the New Testament of a lay teacher. And number four, we can also say that the lay teacher is one of the sub-ministries under the larger ministry of helps. And as such, we must be sensitive to the fact that God has called all non-full-time ministers to the ministry of helps, one of which is the lay teacher. And for that reason, undoubtedly, some of you that are listening to this teaching are called to this lay ministry gift of teaching. So I'll just leave it there. I've said enough about this. I just want you to stir up your spirit, to realize that God is ready to help you. You people out there that sense in your spirit you may have this lay ministry gift of teaching, step out and use it. Just step out in groups that you're in with other believers. Make sure that you are in some other groups with other believers so that you have someone that you can minister to when God moves upon you. If you just sit at home and don't meet with other believers, you're not going to be able to do this. So that you need to step outside of your normal job and family and get involved in your church in some degree in a Sunday school setting or some other setting so that God can use you to augment maybe the teaching that they're getting in this other setting, or to speak out in a group of people and bring forth that word that God's put in your heart for the people and get started and get some confidence and some faith built up in this lay ministry gift that you have. And so, folks, stir up that gift of God, especially you out there that have heard this teaching. Your spirit was pricked and you feel God was speaking to you and that you have this lay ministry gift. Begin to step out in faith and use this gift. That then completes what I had to say about the lay ministry gift of teaching. This is the homework for lesson HBS 159. First question, true or false? A lay person is a man or woman who is a believer but not a full-time minister. Is that true or false? Well, that is true. That was our definition of a lay person. It's a person, a man or woman, who is a believer, but not a full-time minister. Next question, true or false? The laity consists of all lay persons taken as a group. In other words, it's the body of Christ minus the full-time ministers. Is that true or false? That is true also. Next question, true or false? A lay ministry gift is a ministry gift assigned by God to a full-time minister. Is that true or false? Well, that, of course, is false. That's why it's a lay ministry gift and not a full-time ministry gift, because that's to distinguish the lay minister from the full-time minister. So they're not the same. And that's why this question then would be false. Next question. All lay persons have a lay ministry gift, but they will differ from one individual to another. Is that true or false? That is true. All lay persons have some sort of lay ministry gift. We've talked about that extensively in the lessons. But they're not all going to be the same, are they? They're going to be different, and they will differ one individual from another. It says, having then gifts differing. And so even though all lay persons will have a lay ministry gift, they will differ one from another. So that is true. Next question. A lay person's ministry gift is part of the ministry of helps. Is that true or false? Well, that is also true. We discussed that extensively in the lesson as well. The ministry of helps encompasses all the lay ministry gifts. And so the lay person's ministry gift is part of the ministry of helps. So that's true. Next question. The ministry of helps is a very broad ministry with a very broad name, helps. It could be anything that helps. It is the most general ministry in the Bible. A lot of little facts given there, but they're all true. The ministry of helps is a very broad ministry, and it's in fact the most general ministry in all the Bible. That little term helps encompasses a whole lot of different types of ministry. And so that question is also true. The six sub-ministries under the ministry of helps that are to be performed to the proportion of faith given are, number one, he or she that blank. What goes in that blank? In the first blank would go, he or she that ministers. Ministers goes in the first blank. Number two, he or she that, what goes in that blank? Teaches. So teaches goes in that blank. Number three, he or she that exhorts. So exhorts goes in that blank. Number four, he or she that gives. So gives goes in that blank. Number five, he or she that rules. So rules goes in that blank. And finally, number six, he or she that shows mercy. So shows mercy goes in that blank. These are the six sub-ministries under the ministry of helps that are to be performed to the proportion of faith given to us. And they were, again, Number one, ministers. Number two, teaches. Number three, exhorts. Number four, gives. Number five, rules. And number six, shows mercy. All of those sub-ministries, somewhere, if you're a layperson, you'll find your gift. Next question, true or false? You'll find yourself and your gifts somewhere in here if you're not a full-time minister. Well, I guess I just answered that, didn't I? And the answer to that is, of course, true. Next question. The lay ministry gifts are less supernatural than the full-time ministry gifts, since the lay ministry gifts are not given or empowered by God. Is that true or false? Well, that is false. The lay ministry gifts are no less supernatural than the full-time ministry gifts. They're just part-time ministries, but they're still supernatural. Next question. True or false? The lay gift may not be as spectacular or as widely known as the full-time ministry gifts, but its cumulative, helpful effect on the world and the body of Christ may be even greater than that of the full-time minister, since there are so many more of us. So that long question, the answer to that is, of course, true. Next question. Name two differences between the lay ministry gift of he that teacheth and the full-time ministry gift of teacher. What would be two differences between these two gifts and ministries? Well, number one, he that teaches is a lay person with the lay ministry gift of teaching. That would be the first one. And number two, the teacher is a full-time ministry. So the differences between the lay ministry gift of he that teaches and the full-time ministry gift of teacher is, number one, he that teaches is a lay person with the lay ministry gift of teaching. And number two, the teacher is a full-time minister. So the difference is one's full-time and one is not. Next question, true or false? Like the full-time ministry gift of teacher, the teaching gift is a divine and supernatural gift to the body of Christ. Is that true or false? That is, of course, true. Next question. Any teacher with either the full-time ministry gift or lay ministry gift is not a teacher merely by virtue of natural ability, inclination, or previous experience. It is a supernatural endowment. And that, of course, is true. Anybody who teaches, whether they have a full-time ministry gift of teaching or a lay ministry gift of he that teaches, is not a teacher merely by virtue of some natural ability, inclination, or previous experience. It is truly a supernatural endowment. That is true, then, the answer to that question. Next question. Like the full-time ministry gift of teacher, the lay teaching gift is a traveling ministry. Is that true or false? Well, that is false. Yes, the full-time ministry gift of teacher usually is a roving ministry that travels about teaching the body of Christ in various places and churches and seminars and gatherings of believers. But the lay teaching gift is not normally a traveling ministry. You may travel on the weekends to speak or teach or something, but normally the lay minister has a normal job and stays rather close to home. So the answer to this question then, the way it's written, is false. Blank is one person in the New Testament to have the lay ministry gift of teaching. Who is the person that we talked about in the New Testament who seems to have the lay ministry gift of teaching? Well, the answer to this question is Timothy. We went into detail in our lesson of why this is, and so Timothy would be the one person in the New Testament who seems to have this lay ministry gift of teaching. Now, give three reasons that Paul told Timothy to teach. Now, you're going to have to listen close to get the right answer here. I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, Paul told Timothy to teach so that others may teach as well. And so one reason is, so others may teach as well. In other words, as Paul teaches Timothy to teach, he told him to teach others so that they then could teach others as well. So that's the first reason. Number two, he tells Timothy to be apt to teach so that he may instruct those that oppose themselves. There were some in the body of Christ that were opposing themselves. That is, they were saying things that weren't true and they were having problems. And so he tells Timothy to be apt to teach so he may instruct those that oppose themselves. So number one, which I already covered, he tells Timothy to teach so that others may teach as well. And then number two,
so he may instruct those that impose themselves. And now number three, Paul tells Timothy to teach so the brethren can beware of certain things and false teachings that were going on in the church. So there's three reasons here. And if you listen closely, you'll know that the answer is number one, so that others may teach as well. Number two, so he may instruct those that oppose themselves. And number three, so the brethren may beware of certain things. So those are the three answers. If you listen closely, you should get that right. Next question.
Many of us have a lay ministry gift, but we need to blank it up by recognizing that we have received this gift from God, and that blank will help us when we step out in blank to use it. Let's fill in the blanks. Many of us have a lay ministry gift, but we need to stir it up by recognizing we have received this gift from God, and that God will help us when we step out in faith to use it. So the three words that go in this question are stir, God, and faith. And that then completes the homework for this lesson.